This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. I'm actually driving home today because I did come into the office today. So we made that transition. And, you know, doing okay. I'm still underpowered. But every day is a little better. I was talking to a friend who had gone through COVID just ahead of me, like a week ahead of me. And I was chatting with him. He's a younger man, has three kids. Fine young man. And we were chatting about it, and I had mentioned to him, yeah, I think I'm doing okay. I said, I'm just having these kind of random weirdness things. Like I said, just occasionally I'll have night sweats, or I'll just wake up and I'm just drenched. And he said, me too. He said, I actually looked it up, and he said, they said something about potential sign of pneumonia. And he said, that made me nervous. He said, but I got the x-ray and I'm fine. And so, you know, there are just this weirdness stuff. So, you know, I obviously, well, here's the weird thing for me. I'm not fasting the 40 hours at this point, because I'm trying to rebuild my strength. I am taking it easy, so I'm not vigorously exercising. They say don't do that. But something like eating after I eat, man, you know, I can feel the energy drop in me after I eat. It just takes a little while to kind of, you know. And it feels like I am more underpowered than I normally am, even after I've fasted for 40, 44 hours, 45 hours. So I'm definitely not back, but I am functional, and it feels like my brain is working okay. Feels like my senses are all working okay. I conducted a demo today for over 2 hours, and people seemed to be able to understand what I was saying. So feels like I'm okay. I'm just not quite up to speed yet on everything, but you know, that's all right. We're getting there. Aside from that, work is going well. We're getting ready to do a big deploy next week. I think I have everything in place for that. We had a big meeting today, did a demo for everybody and talked our way through. We really ended up only with kind of one major thing that we don't have, and that we were talking through strategizing how we might go about it. So that was fine. I have another meeting on Monday with another group, and hopefully that will go okay as well. And if it does, then I think we'll be ready to go. If it doesn't, then we'll have to drop back and punt. But I think we'll be okay. We have pushed this deadline up a little bit, and so there wasn't quite as much time as I would have preferred to, you know, make sure everybody was on the same page and we were all good. You know, there is the potential when you do that to actually lose track. Sorry, I'll lose track of a few things, but we'll just go forward with Jesus and just pray that everything will be fine. So we'll see. Anyways, so work is fine. Work is good. As far as the writing goes, the writing is good. Got beta readers turning stuff back in. So that's good. I actually haven't reminded my beta readers that the deadline is coming up on the 15th. I got to get that done this weekend. Between COVID and everything else, I just sort of let those notifications slide. But I've had, you know, several get back with me and hand their stuff in. And so, yay. So good. So writing is good. I'm on book 16 now, which is the final book in the second set of 8. That seems to be going fine. I think I know where I'm going. I think I know what we need to do. I just need to get it written at this point in a way that feels satisfying. Big ending on this book. So I've got to get that on paper, but I won't be to that for a while, because the other files for book 15 should be back to me by the 15th of November, and then I have 2 weeks to do editing, prepare the new files. At that point we'll be into Christmas. And then I won't start writing on book 16 again until probably the last week of Christmas, first week of the new year. So, you know, got a little break from writing sprints coming up here. And basically I just have to finish up this week, and then I think I have another week of writing sprints, and then I turn around and start going and editing. So I'm up over 50,000 words at this point, 55,000 words on the new book, and so it's good. And hopefully we'll wrap that out at about 70,000 words, and that'll be a good stopping point because that's almost halfway. And then I'll finish up in January and February, book 16. And then we'll be done with the 2 sets of 8. Boom! First set of 8 was called the Conviction Opus. Second set of 8 was called the Revelation Opus. And then the 3rd set of 8 is called the Nightmare Opus. Dun, dun, dun. So be on home stretch. Only have 8 more books to write. So that's all gone fine. Costumes have gone fine. Last week was a push. Oy. I mean, it was a ridiculous costume to begin with. It was ridiculous. Because I had told people for Halloween I was going to bring sexy back. And I was going to bring it from way back. And so I probably mentioned that I was going to build a Neanderthal bone dancer costume. It was very complicated, lots of pieces. And I was, you know, really just barely out of the COVID last week. And I was still under quarantine on Friday, so I had told everybody, hey, I'm not coming, you know. But on Friday, I finally got to the place where I thought, man, I got to get everything tried on here and to see. And I kind of halfway thought maybe if I get everything tried on, maybe I'd go in and just stand outside the stores and wave at people a little bit. But boy, it took me a couple of hours to get everything kind of tried on and around and figured out. And I was just exhausted by the end of that. So I did go to breakfast with a friend on Saturday, but I was just barely holding it together. And then I did go to Walmart on Saturday, but again, I was just barely holding it together. And to the point that I started doing grocery shopping, and a little voice in me just went, you know what? we are not going to make grocery shopping in this thing. I mean, I probably could have powered through, but my energy, I just didn't have the energy level. And so I thought, I'll just go ahead and wander through the store in costume. And then after I get that done, you know, I will go home, get the videos done. Once I got that off my plate, then I'll just get dressed, turn around, come back in, finish it up. So I did that. And honestly, then I went back home and had to get the writing done, so I didn't finish up till late Friday. And I was just blitzed. But people really seem to enjoy the crazy Neanderthal bone dancer costume. I mean, they really seem to enjoy it. And we laughed and carried on and told jokes, and so had several people tell me, this is my favorite costume that you've done. So that all worked out fine. Because it was, I think it was the next day, I swung by Walmart on Halloween, and one of the workers there, he was all dressed up. I mean, he had it going on. He was like the Cowardly Lion from Wizard of Oz. And I mean, he had gone all out. He had the shoes, he had the onesie, he had the face mask, I think he even had the gloves. And I was telling him, man, you look fabulous. You're doing a great job. And he said, so maybe I could be your protege? I said, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And then I was probably tired, or I was just feeling ornery. And I probably shouldn't have said it, but, you know. So I leaned over to him and said, okay, tell me the truth. He said, you've seen all the people coming in for dressed up in the costumes, doing all that kind of stuff. Yep, yep. I said, so tell me the truth. I'm the best, right? And he said, yes, there's no question. You are the best. So I probably should have said that. I was tired. We'll blame it on the COVID. That's what we'll blame it on. So anyways, costumes are fine. This week is a Dear Santa Letter week. And I found this t-shirt years ago, and I just dearly love it. I dearly love it. And this week, I'm going ahead and beefing up the costume a little bit. The t-shirt is the devil in a trench coat, and he's holding this letter, and he's standing over this little girl, and there's like a Christmas scene in the back, and he's holding out this letter to this little girl. And her eyes are real big as she's looking up at him and clutching her little stuffed toy. And he says, I got your letter. And the letter, as opposed to saying, Dear Santa, says, Dear Satan. Which I just think is hysterical. So I got this little bit that I do about how the people at the North Pole are literalists, that if you write them and make a mistake, you really got to be careful. And the second week of November is Dear Santa Letter Week. And so it's like, well, hey, there you go. So I had ordered, I was on Wish, and they had these body suits that were made out of that red shiny plastic, they call it PU leather, and it was cheap. It was, I don't know, $15, something like that, postage paid. So, but it was all Asian sizes. So I looked at the chart and I was like, oh, I'm not sure. So I just ordered I ordered the largest one they had. And it came in, you know, this is several months ago. It came in a couple of months later. And I looked at it and I was like, yeah, there's no way I'm getting in that. And so then I thought, well, let's just try it. Well, that thing stretches. So yeah, it's pretty much like wearing a plastic bag. But it's really shiny. It's really shiny and it's really red. So it's fun. And I'll wear a t-shirt over it. So this last week, once I got the Neanderthal Bone Dancer done, I've got some shorts and I've got some gloves and, you know, I've been decorating all those things with fur, you know, for Christmas fur, and I ordered some horns. I think the horns that I ordered were actually like Maleficent horns, so they're the big horns. So I suspect people will think it's funny. I still have a face mask to do tonight and a little bit of sewing because I made myself a tail as well. So I got a few little things to finish up, but I'm really close. And we've got small group tonight, and it's just a fellowship night. So once we get through that, I'll break out the sewing machine and see if I can't get everything finished up. So hopefully it'll be fun. I think it'll be fun. It's very shiny. I mean, it is very, very, very shiny, and very red. So yeah, it'll be great. Make people smile, I hope. It certainly is not the craziest and wildest thing that I've ever worn, because I think last week qualified for that. Anyways, so this week, I had come across a clip of a podcast from some of the podcasters I listen to, Brent Weinstein and Heather Hying. I saw this clip and it was titled C.S. Lewis on Living in an Atomic Age. And I went, oh? Because I can't say that I've ever heard them quote from C.S. Lewis before, because they're both materialistic atheists, as near as I can tell. They're evolutionary biologists. They pretty much just believe in the concrete world, and that's it. And I found it interesting that they would quote from C.S. Lewis. And it was very interesting to hear their take on things. Heather was the one who actually read the quote. And I'm going to read it here in a minute. It's an excerpt from an essay that C.S. Lewis did after the dropping of the atomic bombs. And I think it was the type of thing that someone had asked him a question or something, and so he wrote this essay. And of course, it's C.S. Lewis, so it's just excellent. But it's not only just excellent, it's so applicable for what we're going through right now. And it's so grounding. And it's so reorienting that it's worth hearing. So I don't know if you all have heard this before, but it's not enormously long. And I will attempt to read this. I'm almost home. I'm almost home. I can finish it up in my garage, at least. We can get started. So there's been, as I started to look, quite a few people who have actually pulled this out and used it as a reminder for us. So let me find out. Let's see. Okay. So, the question is posed to C.S. Lewis. How are we to live in an atomic age? And he says, I am tempted to reply, why, as you would have lived in the 16th century when the plague visited London almost every year, or as you would have lived in the Viking Age when raiders from Scandinavia might land and cut your throat at night, or indeed, as you are already living in an age of cancer, an age of syphilis, an age of paralysis, an age of air raids, an age of railway accidents, an age of motor accidents. In other words, do not let us begin by exaggerating the novelty of our situation. Believe me, dear sir or madam, you and all whom you love were already sentenced to death before the atomic bomb was invented. It is perfectly ridiculous to go about whimpering and drawing long faces because the scientists have added one more chance of painful and premature death in a world which already bristled with such chances and in which death itself was not a chance at all, but a certainty. If we are going to be destroyed by an atomic bomb, one moment, because this is really good, and I'm getting my mail. One moment, let me get my mail. Got that. I think there's probably anything below. Nope. Okay, there we go. Okay. So C.S. Lewis says, if we are going to be destroyed by an atomic bomb, let that bomb, when it comes to find us, let that bomb, when it comes, find us doing something sensible and human. Praying, working, teaching, reading, listening to music, bathing the children, playing tennis, chatting to our friends over a pint and a game of darts. They may break our bodies, open quote, a microbe can do that, but they need not dominate our minds. What the atomic bomb has really done is to remind us forcibly of the sort of world in which we are living, and which during the prosperous period before, we were beginning to forget. And this reminder is, so far as it goes, a good thing. We have been waked from a pretty dream, and now we can begin to talk about realities. It is our business to live by our own law, not by fears, to follow in private or in public life the law of love and temperance, even when they seem to be suicidal, and not the law of competition and grab, even when they seem to be necessary to our own survival. For it is part of our spiritual law never to put survival first, not even the survival of our species. We must resolutely train ourselves to feel that the survival of man on this earth, much more of our own nation or class or culture, is not worth having unless it can be had by honorable and merciful means. Nothing is more likely to destroy a species or a nation than a determination to survive at all costs. Those who would care for something else more than civilization are the only people by whom civilization is at all likely to be preserved. Those who want heaven most have served earth best. Those who love man less than God do most for man. Let the bomb find you doing well. That's pretty good. What's interesting is that Heather Hain and Brent Weinstein were reflecting on this. And of course, from a naturalistic viewpoint, you know, Brent Weinstein was saying, well, but I think there's sometimes when we have to say that the survival of the species is really important, blah, 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 blah. You know, and he's going through all that kind of stuff, which is expected from his world viewpoint. But there really is a comfort in knowing that we are not only for this world. We are here to have adventures and to have epics and to go on quests. We are here to spread God's love. We are here to be models of Christ. But there is more. There is more. And if we feel ourselves getting discouraged and overwhelmed and filled with anxiety, we need to remember there is more. That we are destined for a greater place. And we should do our best here, that when we reach there, we can look back and say, by his help, by his grace, by his mercy, laying hold of his love for me and reaching out from the strength of that love to others around me, I did well. I did well in the age of the bomb. I did well in the age of the coronavirus. This is Phil Ferrand. And I have made it home.